Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaul11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Very busy week on the feed this week. Happy Thursday to everybody. Hope you enjoyed yesterday's episodes with Alan Hahn, Mike Renner, and Brad Spielberger, PFF. Special episode today. First time on the pod. We did some spaces back in the day when Twitter spaces were cool for a hot second. Does a great job covering the Eagles, Josh Valentino for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Josh, how are we doing today, man?
Will, my boy, pleasure to be on turn on the Jets, making my debut here. Got a nice break here in between practice, just left practice, actually. No Darius Slay, so getting a little interesting here as we get closer to the game, but nice window here to chat with you about the game ahead of this weekend, and obviously hitting the locker room here in a little bit, but certainly happy to join.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you hopping on. Let's start there. That was the one question I wanted to ask you. Obviously, Darius Slay missed practice yesterday. I just saw your tweet come through, I guess, half hour, 45 minutes so ago. He's on, not a practice again. Obviously, a veteran player, a guy that doesn't have to practice all week and can still suit up on game day. That said, the Eagles, haven't been great against the pass this year. That run defense is elite, and they've got a great defensive line, but secondary hasn't been great. Darius Slay would be a pretty big miss this week. Zach Wilson or not, Slay not playing potentially is definitely something to monitor. Am I wrong?
No, you're totally on point there. And it's a bit surprising, to see him missing here from these past two practices you mentioned. He had kind of in that veteran status of, if he were to miss practices, he'd still be one of the guys, obviously, you'd think that would be ready for a game. But the way it's trending, it's not looking like he's going to play just based on, again, it's still Thursday, but Thursday is their longest and most productive practice of the week. And hasn't just been Slay. Safety Justin Evans, who started this most recent game against the Rams, he played every single snap along with Slay. He's also been missing, also with a knee injury. So, this Eagles team is 5-0, but I mean, there are still places certainly to improve on offense. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But one thing to point out, Will, is that this defense has not played with the same starting 11 at all through all five games. There's been no continuity with the group. There's injuries at all three levels. And not just that, personnel changes throughout. That's where they've really been banged up. And Darius Slay is just the latest part of that puzzle. Fortunately for them, they've shown the ability to make adjustments. Just rewinding really quick to this past Sunday's game, Cooper Kupp drive. Matt Stafford, who was finding Kupp over and over again. I think he had five or six catches on the opening drive. It looked like it was going to be a shootout. And what do you know? The Eagles defense, they make all the adjustments needed, and they actually shut out the Rams and Kupp in the second half. They didn't score a single point in that second half. So, that's kudos to their ability to make adjustments. But again, they just have not been able to have any continuity here with the personnel.
Yeah, the one other injury question before we kind of get into how the Eagles have looked through a couple of weeks. Fletcher Cox missed last week. He seems to have been limited, through the first couple of days. And then, I don't know how, but Jalen Hurts, looked like his ankle was totally screwed. And, you know, obviously doesn't miss a snap. He doesn't even, you know, I'm sure he'll be totally fine, right? Because he's a part of the reason the Tosh Posh works is because Jalen Hurts is built like an absolute freak. Were you surprised like Hurts was just totally fine after rolling his ankle like that last week? And then Fletcher Cox, I know, you know, Davis and Carter are the young guys that everyone talks about. Fletcher Cox is still, you know, a man amongst boys and is definitely one of the heartbeats of that defense. He probably will likely play though, right? He's a guy who's been limited, but we'll likely see on Sunday.
Yeah, certainly. I'll start with Hurts. And there was actually a moment of pause after the game because he took the longest he's taken in terms of getting to his press conference after the game. And it was reminiscent of last year's game in Chicago when he actually injured that throwing shoulder. And it took him forever to arrive for his press conference. He wasn't seen in the locker room at all, you know, and changing out of his jersey, you know, and as we're in there after the game, he was just totally absent. And then it took him forever to get to his press conference. But, you know, Jalen has not been listed on the injury report this week. And obviously he's been practicing these first couple of days. And you alluded to it earlier, but, you know, we've seen so many teams attempt a similar quarterback sneak, tush push, the brotherly shove, as many fans here in Philadelphia like to call it. And it just simply hasn't as worked as well as the machine that the Eagles have created with Jalen Hurts and this offensive line. And you certainly have to credit that offensive line, that interior with Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelsey, Cam Jurgens, who's now injured, being replaced by Sue Opetta. But it starts really with them four. And then obviously Dallas Goedert has been the main pusher behind Jalen Hurts. But Jalen, you know, built like a one of a kind, you know, one of the few quarterbacks in the league who I think can squat up to 600 pounds. So a testament to him and his work ethic. And actually through the first four games, that running piece had actually been missing. So for him to be able to show that he still got that and really unlock that level we hadn't seen earlier in the season this past Sunday, as the Eagles continue to piece together this offense that still hasn't been clicking on all cylinders. And, you know, to your point with Fletcher Cox, man, you think about, you know, he's certainly going to garner Hall of Fame player, you know, numerous Pro Bowls, all pro selections. And for him to miss this past Sunday's game and the Eagles to not miss a beat, man, that's just a testament to the future of this interior defensive line. Jalen Carter, man, he looks like the real deal. And certainly there were causes for concern coming out of the draft. And, you know, there are reasons why he slipped to the Eagles, who traded up one pick to get him at number 9. But Will, I mean, through the first month of the season, this guy looks like the real deal. And not just, you know, rookie of the year consideration for Jalen Carter, but I mean, he's looking like one of the best defensive tackles in the league. And, you know, obviously we just saw one of them in Aaron Donald this past week, but he leads the team with 3.5 sacks, which is a lot through five games for, you know, coming from the interior. And, you know, as you kind of mentioned earlier, as this Jets offensive line continues to piece together a different look here compared to the beginning of the season, Jalen Carter will certainly look to take advantage of that. And, you know, he's just one of many names. You know, Jordan Davis, their first round pick last year, he's looked much better. Milton Williams, a third year player, he's flashed in his limited reps behind those guys. So Jalen Carter is making a lot of people smile right now in this building.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I think somewhere where, like, you know, that we talked about the Jets offensive line, I think they've been much better the last 3 weeks. Obviously, Elijah Vera Tucker now going down with an Achilles, which is just nuts. You know, the Jets probably two most important offensive players. Most important offensive lineman, obviously a quarterback going down with an Achilles in the first 5 weeks is not what you want. That said, they've been much better. I still think, you know, they lean on the run. The Eagles defense kind of prioritizes, you know, against playing against the run. I think they're in the mid-20s in terms of against the pass. We obviously mentioned Darius Slay's, you know, potential injury there. I'm curious from a Jalen Hurts perspective, you mentioned it a little bit. I feel like he was a guy who was last year, we finished the year, the Super Bowl, he obviously is a fantastic game. A lot of, is he a top five guy? Is he a top three guy? Like, there was a lot of that conversation, and he's been good. I also don't know that he's played elite as he played last year. Again, new offensive coordinator Shane Steichen was under the radar, one of the best coaches in football, and obviously got a head coaching job, and we've seen he's already done a great job with Indianapolis. Brian Johnson's known to develop quarterbacks, but I feel like they're kind of, I can't tell, maybe you'll know better than me, but I can't tell if they're in between, like, do they want to be a running team? Do they want to air it out? Like, they have all these weapons. I just don't know if they found a balance yet. Am I off? I feel like Hurts just made a little bit more careless throws than he did last year, and they just kind of can't find that right balance. They still put up points. They still move the football, but I just don't feel like they've hit that. I don't know if it's the red zone. I don't know what it is. I just haven't felt like the Eagles of last year yet, at least on offense.
Yeah, no, you're certainly sniffing there in the right direction. You know, as we look at the other only undefeated team in the league, the Niners, I mean, they're blowing every team out. And the expectations around this team on this fan base is that, you know, the Eagles should be doing the same, but that hasn't been the case. They've been won, you know, they're in many different ways, whether it be the defense, whether it be the offense coming in late. But as I mentioned earlier, they have not been clicking on all cylinders. Fortunately for them, I mean, that's a good problem to have, you know, when you're 5-0. But you look at their weapons, and this most recent game is a perfect example. Will, through the first four games, I think Dallas Goedert had 80 yards, and, you know, he considers himself, and if you look at the numbers since, you know, since he's taken over for Zach Ertz in 2021, he's been one of the most productive tight ends in the NFL. He leads the position in yards after the catch. You know, that's ahead of guys like Travis Kelce, George Kittle. So Dallas Goedert, a very, very productive piece in this offense behind A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, their top two wide receivers. He was basically an afterthought, again, through the first four games, and he popped off this most recent game, had over 100 yards. And then you look at who labored in that department. Devontae Smith, one catch for 6 yards. So, I mean, there are going to be games like that when, you know, they have their top playmakers, again, three, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. There will be games when one of those three, you know, are not as productive. And again, you think about the personnel that they're also trying to mix in from the run game. Jalen Hurts plays a big factor in that dynamic and defenses having to account for him. But DeAndre Swift, I mean, what an addition he has been. You know, not as productive this most recent week, but he has been, you know, when you look at all the numbers from the entire season, he has been just a workhorse in that backfield. And, you know, we can get into it with the red zone. I mean, that is flat out where they have completely struggled. You know, Jake Elliott, you know, they've got to thank this guy for his services every week, because he leads the league right now in field goal attempts and made field goals. I think he's got 16 of 17. And, you know, they'll certainly be thankful for him. He's a two-time special teams player of the week, but they want 6 points. I mean, leave no doubt about it. And again, I think right now they rank 27th or 28th in red zone efficiency, coming off a week where they went 2 of 5 in that part of the field. And you and I talked offline about this, but this is essentially the same personnel. It's not like there have been, you know, major changes with the players that are on the field. I'd argue they're even better, you know, with the addition of DeAndre Swift. I mean, these are the same weapons. This is the same quarterback, and they just, it's all, you know, they're left for all these questions at that part of the field. And certainly play calling has a big factor into that. And we'll see what adjustments are made here as the season develops. Again, fortunately for them, that's a good problem to have when they're 5-0 heading into this week 6 matchup over there at MetLife.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. There's two things. There's obviously, like, the Eagles are 5-0. They're 12-0 against the Jets all time. Maybe something gives there. The other part is the Jets are the best team in the NFL in red zone defense. They're the worst team on offense. The Eagles have been terrible on the red zone on both sides of the ball. Someone's going to have to, like, give here, right? And in one way, it's good that for the Jets, from a Jets perspective, they're really good in the red zone. If they can hold the Eagles to 3, they give themselves a shot on Sunday. You got to force their turnover at 2. And, you know, if you hold them to 3 multiple times, maybe you keep yourself in the game. We saw that against KC. A couple turnovers, they forced them to 3, and there was a game there at the end. The other side of it is the Jets were 0-for-5 in the red zone last week, and it was a huge problem. They should have won that game by 20 to 30 points if you go back and watch, like, if you go back and watch it, there was no reason that game should have even been close at the end, and they didn't capitalize. They kept the team in the game. They're not good enough right now to do that. So there's a couple of matchups I was curious about from your perspective, you know, and we'll, before we kind of end up wrapping here, is there's Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, and Michael Carter against, you know, guys you mentioned, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. Like, that is as good of a matchup as you're going to see any given Sunday in the NFL. That's probably one of, if not the 2 or 3 best receiver rooms in the NFL outside of maybe Miami. And it's probably the best cornerback room in the NFL. Like, how excited are you just to see that? And then secondly, Jason Kelce versus Quinn Williams. Like, I know you got to see it last week, Jason Kelce and then interior versus Aaron Donald. If there's a guy that's kind of close to Aaron Donald, Quinn Williams is right up there with him. How excited are you kind of to see both those matchups of just superstars on superstars? Like, this is kind of what, this is what makes watching football fun. Like, regardless of what happens in this game, these are some pretty elite level matchups we're going to get in the middle of the year here.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Yeah, certainly. If you've got some popcorn, I mean, whatever you're grubbing on, certainly grab it and watch the boundary this weekend there. With those guys that you mentioned. But you know what? Well, I think I'm going to make a prediction here, a bold one. Maybe not necessarily a bold one, but you look at the Jets' rush defense and, you know, again, what the Eagles had been accomplished prior to last week with DeAndre Swift. I think they've got to set the tone on the ground to open up that pass game because, again, those are some talented guys in the secondary. And, you know, the Eagles are going to be confident in their guys on the outside. But I think if they're able to establish the running game early with this offensive line that we've mentioned, I think that won't be able to open things up in the pass game. And the Eagles, they're so dependent on A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith winning their one-on-one matchups. It's going to be a tough test against this secondary. You know, Robert Saleh, it really just seems like he's, you know, despite all the adversity that this team has faced early on, that he can coach these guys up. And that certainly earned the praise early on here in the Eagles locker room. You know, we were talking to N'Kobe Dean, who's it seems like he's going to make his return from injured reserve, their starting linebacker. You know, he's 2 years removed from the Dick Butkus Award as the best college linebacker. And N'Kobe, really the first thing that he said outside of addressing his injuries, all the praise for Robert Saleh and the job that he's been able to do with these guys. And, you know, hasn't necessarily resulted in a bunch of wins for this Jets team, but from their tape study, they see that, you know, these guys are playing hard, and it will certainly start with that secondary setting that tone. And but if I pick one of them, man, you know, in terms of a matchup to watch, let me go Devontae, because Nick Sirianni, you know, it's still his offense. I know Brian Johnson is the play caller, but this is still Sirianni's umbrella. You know, he oversees this entire offense. And every time, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show when there seems to be a week or a span of weeks when guys don't get the ball. I think it was week one or week two when AJ had very limited production. Now AJ has strung together three straight games with 100 plus yards. Going into last week's game at Los Angeles, all the questions all week were about Dallas Goedert. You know, where is he? You know, he's only got 80 yards through four games. They target Dallas Goedert, like, I think, four or five catches the opening drive. He ends up finishing with 100 yards. Now all the questions are about where's Devontae. You know, he had one catch for 6 yards this most recent game. I'd expect him to be targeted earlier. And Devontae has to win those matchups. And, you know, the byproduct of you know, his career through 2 years, and obviously him winning the Heisman in college, that is, he's been able to do that. But certainly one of the toughest matchups in terms of a secondary that they're going to face all season. So I'm going to be watching Devontae Smith, whoever he lines up against.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The one other matchup is that I'm curious is where the Jets line up Bryce Huff from a matchup perspective on second and third downs. If they get the Eagles in, you know, third and obviously if they keep the Eagles at a third and fourth and one, they're going to convert that at an absurdly high rate. but you know, Jordan Mailata and these bigger tackles, even Elaine Johnson, for example, like, when you have elite level speed, like your burst and bend is elite, it's really hard for these bigger tackles. You know, you see it all camp. Mekhi Becton's had a really nice start to the season. against a power guy, nobody's going to outpower someone that's 380 pounds. But the speed rush is like something that Hassan Riddick and those type of guys, like, they thrive off that. So I'm just curious what the Jets do. And do they try to like do some of these overloads to a side of Mailata is a great tackle, but again, he's a huge guy, and as athletic as you are, you just move slower when you're 360 pounds versus 230 pound edge rusher. So that'll be interesting. One kind of comment before we get kind of a, I guess, prediction, kind of what you think is going to happen on Sunday. Robert Saleh talked about it yesterday, and I thought, you know, he obviously tried to get cute with it and was like, give Jalen Hurts 11 kisses, you know, when they do the tush push and stuff. It for some reason made a lot of rounds. I don't know if it was just on Twitter and people kind of like from an Eagles perspective and got very upset about it. And then there was some like the Jets have a bunch of roughing the passer calls, which I'm not going to go down this whole loophole of the NFL officiating. Did you have any problem with that comment? I feel like he was more so saying like, you have to be able to meet physically Philly, like with they're going to try to beat you up in the trenches. And if you're not ready to like, it's still football at the end of the day. I didn't have a problem with that. Am I crazy that that was not like some crazy comment? People got very, very upset about it.
Yeah, no, I actually enjoyed it. And I think Nick Sirianni pointed to it as well. At the end of the day, I really do think it's a byproduct of the personnel, but also like how they're coaching it, you know, as we see. Like, and I think, you know, some defenses have tried to combat that in terms of trying to get lower. You know, we certainly saw that with Vita Vea and the Buccaneers and how Todd Bowles had instructed them to defend it. And the Eagles are still, again, converting at an enormous, I mean, it's just a crazy rate. I think it's like over 90, it might be 95% right now. They were 4-for-4 last week until two garbage attempts in Los Angeles. So when you think about the entire drama with the play, you know, Jason Kelce on his podcast with Travis Kelce this week, I think the way he phrased it is that he predicts at some point that you're going to see defensive players faking injuries.
And, yeah, I saw that.
You know, and Adam Schefter, he reported a couple weeks ago, or maybe this past week, that the play is obviously going to be reviewed in the offseason throughout the combine in those days. And one of the specific points that they're going to study is the injury rate. And I think that's why, you know, Jason made that comment. So, you know, as long as it's legal, you know, Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, who has chatted with a little bit here at practice as he walked onto the field, they're going to keep running that play. So, I mean, if the Jets can put the Eagles into positions where third and intermediate, third and long, it will certainly give them a chance. And that's what you point out. Take advantage of where they're struggling right now. You know, this team is filled with playmakers, obviously coming off that Super Bowl appearance. But if you can continue to throw them in adversity where it's clearly a huge problem right now in the red zone, you know, if you can force those third and mediums, third and longs, and, you know, force Jake Elliott and the special teams unit on the field, you know, you'll have a chance.
What are the odds we get a good game on Sunday? I don't know. I know the line's whatever, 6 or 6.5. I think it might have gotten bet up to 7. I'm not quite sure. I try to stay out of that world. But what, you know, I guess, yeah, what happens on Sunday? Because it's a game that the Eagles are coming off a West Coast trip. They've kind of slept walk a little bit through some of these games and still have won. They're still 5-0. They're still one of the two or three best teams in the NFL. They play Miami next week, which is a huge game. It's like I think it's a game everyone's kind of got circled as like, be a Super Bowl preview. As much as I don't want to see that, it truly could be a Super Bowl preview. Jets are 2-3. It's Zach Wilson. Like, I feel like this is one of those games that's either 23-20 in the fourth quarter, similar to that Kansas City game where you're like, oh shit, like we got a hell of a game here with 4 minutes to go, or it's 31-20 and it's not quite as close as the score indicates.
Yeah, I think we look at the pass rush, and I think there will be no question that you know, the Eagles will put Zach Wilson into tough spots, whether it be from the edges. You know, Josh Sweat's playing at a very high level, Hassan Reddick, and you know, we mentioned all the guys at the interior earlier with Jalen Carter leading the group. I think for it to be a close game, the offensive line is not going to play up to their standard, their performance, and that Quinnen Williams is a game wrecker. And, you know, that Jermaine Johnson is getting off his stunts and twists, and, you know, the Eagles aren't able to handle that. You mentioned Jordan Mailata earlier as a potential question mark. You know, the offensive line is very stout. And, you know, that's not a play on words. You know, their offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland, does a tremendous job at coaching these guys up. But, you know, if you were to look at an area that if this game were close, I think it's as if the offensive line doesn't maintain their level of production, and that Quinnen Williams is able to get some pressure, some quarterback hits, and again, force the offense, Jalen Hurts, into these third and long scenarios where it just becomes difficult to convert, especially when they reach that vaunted, you know, part of the field where they're struggling. And you can see where, you know, that scenario might come into play, but they are coming off a game where they limited a first ballot Hall of Famer, Aaron Donald, you know, multiple All Pros, multiple Pro Bowls, whatever, you know, award him with. I believe he had zero quarterback hits, zero sacks, obviously, and just one pressure. And even that pressure was debatable. So, you know, they've done a tremendous job, and it hasn't just been him. You know, I mentioned Vita Vea earlier in the show. They've gone through this murderer's row of interior defensive linemen, and they just continue to handle their business week after week after week. But again, you look at the Jets' strength, the defense, certainly up front there with Quinnen Williams, and all the cues, for a matter of fact. But that's where I can see the game getting close if, you know, the Jets' front plays up and exceeds expectations against this Eagles' offensive line.
Yeah, this is a game where Quincy Williams has been fantastic, probably one of the three or four best linebackers this year in football through 5 weeks. He's a guy that if he plays really well, it means Jalen Hurts probably didn't run the ball well. It means the Jets probably tackled well in space. The games they've tackled really well in space, they've won. And the games they haven't, Dallas, they didn't tackle well. New England, they tackled well 80% of the game. That was a whole disaster in itself. But again, like Buffalo, they tackled well. Kansas City, they tackled well, generally speaking. Obviously, last week, you know, in Denver in the second half, they tackled fantastic. So, you know, Quincy Williams being a guy who's a 4-4 guy, like, and he's willing to hit anybody. Like, those are the guys you need to step up, you know, if you want to try to, you know, compete with this Eagles team. We saw even those one or two plays in Nick Bolton made in the Super Bowl and things like that, where these kind of undersized, fast linebackers, if they can keep Hurts in the pocket, although he was fantastic again in the Super Bowl, you give yourself a chance. Obviously, appreciate you hopping on. I know, you know, you're in between practice and pressers and all that type of stuff. Make sure you guys are following Josh's work. You know, I'll post it, obviously, you know, socials and everything. A lot of stuff for the Philadelphia Inquirer, does a fantastic job. So appreciate hopping on. Enjoy the game on Sunday. And, you know, we'll have you on again, you know, when these two teams maybe meet in the Super Bowl in 15 years. I don't know. Maybe next year if Rodgers comes back healthy.
Hey, well, certainly a pleasure, man. You know, it sucks that, you know, the Jets have faced this adversity, obviously, starting with the quarterback position. But hopefully we're due for a good football game, you know, for all the reasons that we mentioned, and certainly enjoy the game this weekend, man. It was a pleasure.